Welcome to the Iowa Blues Showcase, episode number 59. My name is Tom Gary. I am the Blues Historian. For those of you that follow the blog, the Blues Historian, it's July 16th of 2017, and we are coming to you live, not Memorex. Tonight's special show, it's my old friends from Kansas City, the Blues Notions. It's all them tonight. Now, we had them a few weeks back, and we had the version that had Tom Trashmouth Baker, who informed me on Facebook it's Blues Notions, not Blue Notions. And then he called me Plowboy, which is what he used to call me down in Kansas City, because I was from Iowa, because apparently everybody in Iowa must be farmers, so there you go. Tonight, though, is Oliver Riley and the Blues Notions. This is the original version of the band, and this includes the amazing guitar and vocals of Oliver Riley. Oliver's kind of comes and goes in Kansas City. He's one of those cats that he should be known by everybody in the world. This guy, you know, he's the real deal, and he's an amazing guitar player. There's a little bit of Albert Collins in him, but really he's his own guy, and Oliver's just he's one of those cats who, when he's playing on stage, he's like always on the edge, as far as he's pushing himself, you know, as far as he can go, and the audience maybe not aware of it, but they dig that energy. And I mean, Ollie always was like just full bore, just amazing guitar player. And of course, one of the reasons he could do that is because the band was so damn good. And the reason why was because of the rhythm section, because Wayne Smith, we talked about him a few weeks back, this amazing bass player who basically steered the band. He drove the band. You know, he's the guy that you kept your eye on, because he knew where the band was going. And then Greg was this great drummer. Don't know what's happened to Greg. I've tried to find some of these guys on Facebook, and I've only found Wayne and Ollie. That was it. I've not found Dave or Bill Thomas or Greg Mays. Still looking for him. But Greg's was this really great drummer. And Billy's this guitar player that, I mean, unless you're really, really listening, you're not going to hear him, because he's like the legit real rhythm guitar player that, you know, those guys went extinct in the 1960s. But boy, if you got a guy that knows how to actually play rhythm guitar, man, I'll tell you what, it makes your band boogie. Because what happens is, now the lead guys, which were Ollie on guitar and Dave Creighton, the professor, on keyboards, they don't have to worry about rhythm at all. They can just go flat out. And that's a nice thing, because you don't have to carry the rhythm, because those other three guys are what's doing it. And a rhythm guitar player, generally, they usually shadow the bass player. So whatever bass line's going on, that rhythm guitar player is usually shadowing that. Or he's playing a rhythm that holds the band together, so the lead guitar player doesn't have to do it. And it's like, it makes a big difference. And I'll tell you what, it is an art form that very few people know how to do, you know. But and especially in blues bands, normally you don't have two guitar players in the traditional blues band. You know, that was just not what you had. But in this band, you do, and it makes a big difference. The songs here, it's going to be pretty short. There's only 8 songs on this, but man, there's just a nice selection of what they were really doing back then. Now, I'm looking and looking, trying to find a date on this, and I don't see one. So I got to guess If I had to guess, I want to say probably 88 or 89. Maybe 90 at the latest, but I think Ollie had left by then. So it could have been 88 or 89, because this would have been their first and only cassette release. And yeah, I'm pretty sure it's out of print. The song's Buzzard Luck starts off, which is this cool song about not having money. Talk about being a blues man. He mentions Keith Robinson in it. This is the guy that owns the Roxy Bar and Grill, or owned it. He no longer owns that. On Sunday nights, he's talking about borrowing money from him. Trust me, that would not happen. Keith wasn't the kind of guy to give you money. I love you, Keith, if you accidentally listen to this podcast. He was a super nice guy, great bar owner, but he was a bar owner, and you're a band, and you just, as Wayne Smith used to tell me, you don't make friends with the bar owner. As in, they're not your friend. So, and words that I have lived by. Let's see. Cold Feeling, Kansas City, New Blood, Too Many Cooks, Crosscut Saw, Red House, and Nueva York, which is New York. And it's actually called Drum Thing, which is the Santana song. And I tell you what, you got to listen to, I mean, all these songs are amazing. It's just like they were when they played them live. I mean, this is a great band for live, when you saw them live. But this last song, the Drum Thing, man, it reminded me of Sunday nights, because after they play a first set, and then they would have jammers play, and then there would be a short break, and I'm gonna say probably somewhere around 10, because they used to start really early over there, especially in the summertime, or no, wintertime. Summertime they started a little later, but probably 10 or 11 o'clock, they would do Drum Thing, and they would give out all these rhythm toys to the women, and then the women would be on the dance floor, and they'd be playing all these tambourines and maracas and castanets and all these other rhythm things, sticks, the fish with the with the ribs that you go rip, 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 and they'd be out there dancing around playing these while the song was going on. And it was crazy. It was awesome. I mean, it's a great song anyway, but kind of a nice song that they put at the end of the cassette. Let's see here. Oh yeah, Dave Creighton. Haven't talked too much about the professor. The professor, he was a B3 player. Played Hammond B3 exclusively on this. Now, later years, when the Blue Notions were playing up here in Des Moines, he was smartly playing piano, digital piano, because hauling around a B3 is a pain in the backside. So there's very few people that still haul them around. I know Sam, I think Sam Salamone's still moving around with his, but I'm pretty sure he's got help. And then I can't think of anybody here locally. And then, of course, a handful of touring guys still carry them around because they're great instruments. I mean, good God, they're beautiful sounding, and it's a lot like riding a Cadillac or driving a Cadillac when you play one as a keyboard player, because they just it's just the action on them is really quick. I mean, you can fly on it, and you can get distorted. You can keep up with guitar players. I mean, rock bands have used them for years, especially in the 60s. I'm thinking like Deep Purple. When you heard the organ there, sometimes it's hard to differentiate him from the guitar players because he's so distorted. So, I mean, B3 is a great tool, but they're just heavy. It's just a big piece of furniture. So, You know, a lot of us don't play those anymore, but yeah, Dave was definitely playing the B3 back then. Okay, let's listen to Oliver Riley and the Blue Notions from back in probably about 1989, we'll say, on the Iowa Blues Showcase.
Thank you. just like ice around my heart. Got a cold, cold feeling. It's just like ice around my heart. You treat me like a prisoner because my hands are tied. You know everything you're doing to me, little girl, is stacking up inside. It's a cold, cold feeling. It's just like I around my heart. I know I'm gonna quit somebody every time that feeling made a fool of me. We'll be right back.
I might take a train, but if I have to walk, I'm going just the same. I'm going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come. They got some foxy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. Look out now.
Thank you.
Go the Blue Notions from Kansas City, Missouri. Oliver Riley, Wayne Smith, Greg Mays, Billy Thomas, and the Professor, Dave Creighton, right there. Friends of mine from way, way back, Kansas City days. Not really sure, except for Wayne. I know Wayne's still doing it. He's still out there, playing music and, doing his thing. No longer in Kansas City, though. He's still down in Missouri. Don't know what's happened to the rest of the guys. I think Dave probably still playing with the Blue Notions if they're still around doing the with Trash Mouth. But I don't know. I've even lost track of that. They used to come up here and play a few times a year. And then when the Blues Bar closed, then those Kansas City bands stopped showing up. And that sucked for me because they were all friends of mine. So I've no clue what's going on down there. So I need to head on down there and see what's up. yeah, the Blue Notions, they were the band that, they were the top band in the late 80s. And Oliver, as far as I was concerned, was the top guy. I mean, there were older cats that were still around that were great. But as far as the new generation of blues, Oliver was it. And when I decided, you know, I was, if you listen to the podcast, you know, I was playing rock and roll or rock, pop music, whatever you want to call it, new wave, whatever, a little bit of everything, when I was young. And I told myself if I, you know, hadn't made it in rock by the time I was in my mid-20s, I was going to give up and do something else because it's a young man's game. I mean, you know, record producers are, and record companies there, and they're not looking for people in their 30s and 40s and 50s. They're looking for people in their 20s and teens. Obviously, I was going nowhere in that scene. And I was pretty close to probably 27, 26, maybe 28. I don't know. It was a long time ago. And I'd pretty much said that was it. And I'd went to the Roxy Bar and Grill. I remember one of the reasons I went there on a Friday night with the band I was in. And I wasn't even, you know, at this point I wasn't playing blues. We were a rock band. And I remember they had this really cute waitress, and I was thinking to myself, damn, I think I'm going to come back Sunday for the jam and check her out. And then she wasn't there, but I brought all my gear anyway, and I was friends with these guys even before I was playing blues because I'd known Wayne from work, believe it or not. We both worked for the Kansas City Public Schools back in the day. And I'd known him there way before I'd known him as a musician. So I had my gear and I set it up, and after the first set I started playing, and I just kept playing, and nobody told me to sit down. And I remember Keith even the bar owner came up and thanked me for coming out, and I felt really good, and I said, oh man, I think I found my home. And for probably the next year and a half, I was dragging my piano down there for free on Sunday night just to play with these blues cats, and I played with a lot of really good blues people, and that's how I ended up with John Paul and the Hellhounds and a bunch of other Kansas City bands. And yeah, if it wasn't for Wayne in particular and Ollie, I wouldn't be a blues man. No, those guys helped me out a lot because I paid my dues for a long time there, just hauling my stuff down there to play for free, just so I could, you know, hook up with somebody. And it was a great education. And the professor, even though he refused to show me anything, He always was that way. I'd ask him, well, how do you play this? How do you play that? And he wouldn't tell me a damn thing. But luckily, other piano players in Kansas City weren't that way, because Dan Dorn and Larry Van Loon were really nice to me and showed me a lot of stuff. So those two cats I owe a lot to as well. So anyway, there you go. That's my history. So, you've spent another 45 minutes listening to the blues, and I'm happy you're here. We had our 5,000th download. Couldn't tell you a thing about who number 5,000 was, but if it was you, thank you very much. I think about the best thing I could do, I think I said this last week, because I might be able to figure out what country you're from, but that's about it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And, you know, I just hope that each download is somebody keeping the blues alive and spreading this music around and helping us keep this going, because I tell you what, blues is on life support, man. I keep thinking it'll get better, and it just gets worse. You cannot get a gig in this town playing blues unless you are, you know, you're doing a gig for the Blues Society. They have their monthly meetings, and they're now having blues there, which is a great idea. Kansas City Blues Society used to do that years ago for their meetings, having a blues band. And, yeah, I don't even know what's happened to Kansas City Blues Society, so I hope they're still around. But, yeah, I've heard stories. So, yeah, it's tough all over. And we need you. We need you to listen, and we really need you to turn this on to the young people, because as I've said a bazillion times, we ain't getting any younger, and we need young people to take over, and you know, carry the torch. And it's, you know, I tell you what, it's kind of sad when, you know, some local people here have said some really derogatory things about blues. And it's like, what is wrong with you people? How can you hate on music? And I've even heard professional musicians, hate to call them out, but a very prominent podcaster had an episode about, you know, about blues, and it was really ugly. I think he was trying to be funny. I'm not positive, but it wasn't good. And we don't need that. You know, we need people to find it. And here's the thing about the blues for you youngins out there who, if you accidentally got this far, here's the thing. There's all these different types of blues. I mean, you know, what you heard tonight is just one version. There's acoustic, there's Delta, there's Chicago style, Kansas City style, St. Louis style, which is more rock and roll. You got Memphis style, which is more soul. You know, and even contemporary rap really borrows from the sevens or the insults that people used to do in the community, which is blues based. So you know you can't escape it. I mean, it's there. It's in the DNA of American music. So, you know, at some point you're just going to have to, you know, accept it, make it your own, do something, but don't just trash it, because it's really the only American style birthed in America and birthed a lot of different styles that's out there. So you got to be out there and saving it. You can't be trashing it out. So come on over to the blues. Don't let it go. Don't let it die. Like I said, it's been around since the 1860s. Hopefully it'll be around into 2060. It would be nice to be around for it. I'd be about 100 years old when it gets to be 200 years old. So I hope to be around for that. And hope y'all have a good time. Summer is here. It is hot. Tonight, they're supposed to be the Northern Lights. I haven't checked because I live in the city. But as soon as I'm done podcasting here and polish this up and get it out there, I'm going to get in my car and drive north. Hopefully see some wonderful colors out there in the atmosphere. It should be lovely tonight. That's what they say. And you, have a great week. Enjoy your time listening to the blues, and there's all these podcasts. If you just joined us, there are 60, almost 60 of them that you can download and listen to, because that, my friends, is what the blues is all about. You have a good time, you have a great week, and we'll see you next week on the Iowa Blues Showcase.